Thank you, Chair. As you can see from title, we have designed a low latency wormhole router for asynchronous on-chip network. And the asynchronous on-chip network is a GAL system, the globally asynchronous and locally synchronous system. And the asynchronous part is using quasi-delay instance QDI pipeline. So in this talk, we are trying to provide some general method to improve the speed performance of this QDI design. The third technology we will propose is channel slicing, which will divide a wide QDI pipeline into several narrow QDI pipelines. The other one is the lookup pipeline style. We are trying to use in this lookup pipeline on critical cycles. By using these two technologies together, we have implemented a 32-bit wormhole router, and the simulation show that we can reduce 31% latency with 28% average overhead. The QDI pipeline actually works in a similar way as the synchronous pipeline. As you can see from the upper figure, which shows one bit synchronous pipeline, the whole circuit is divided into three pipeline stages by using three slots to temporarily dot data. All the three slots are triggered by the same global clock signal. Actually, we can do the same thing by using QDI pipelines. But instead of using three slots, we use C elements. You can think all the C elements as normal latches. And we don't use the global clock signal, we use handshake circuits. And because it's handshake circuits, the pipeline only works when there are real data transmission, so the circuit is low power and tolerant to process variation, which is quite important for tomorrow VLSI charging. The data transmitted down the QDI pipelines are coded in one hop, including zero. So when all the data bits are zero, it's not the data zero, it's the idle state or bubble. The two stages that have data must be divided by an idle stage. And if multiple idle stages are linked together, only the last one is idle, but others are bubbles which can receive new data. As you can see from the first line of this figure, the pipeline have two data stages. But the first data stage cannot be transmitted to the second, to the next stage because the next one is the idle stage. So the second data can be transmitted because the next one is bubble. So in one cycle later, the second data is transmitted on the second stage. And then all the data have a bubble on the second stage. Then they can be transmitted simultaneously in the second cycle. But so we can see that the data in the QDI pipelines are transmitted forward, and bubbles are transmitted backward to let data to be transmitted. The throughput of this pipeline is determined by the slowest pipeline stages, which I call them critical cycles. It's the same thing as the critical paths in synchronous circuits. The network on chip is a scalable and distributed communication fabric. And the network chip we are researching is a GALS network. All the green parts showing this mesh networks are asynchronous circuits, and white parts are synchronous IP blocks. So several IP synchronous IP blocks are connected by 40 asynchronous routers. In this kind of network, if network node A wants to talk with network node B, then A must send out a packet, and this packet will go through several routers and finally reach B. For each of this router, it has several ports, and every input port is connected with an input buffer. There is a crossbar inside the router which is controlled by a switch allocator. The crossbar dynamically link one input port to output ports, so the packet could go across the router. If we combine the two structures together, then the data path between A and B is shown in the lower figure, which have buffers and crossbars. If you can think that the buffers are normal QDI pipelines, then the whole data path is normal QDI pipelines. Then our job is try to provide some method to improve the speed of performance of this QDI pipelines. And the third technology is channel slicing. It's about the basic pipeline style. Up to now, all the QDI routers using synchronous pipeline style. Here in this slide is a synchronized 4-bit pipeline which is built by 4 1-bit pipelines which I call these pipelines subchannels. all the sub-channels are synchronized by CRM tree to generate a common ACK signal. And the ACK signal is using this buffer tree to trigger all pipeline stages bands. And the benefit of this synchronization is that data transmits on all sub-channels are synchronized, the same as the bar system in a signal circuit. Somehow the CRM tree and the buffer tree will increase the loop latency of the stages, and which will reduce speed performance. But so what I think, why do we need to use this CRM tree and buffer tree when not let all sub-channels to run independently? So if we go back to the data path, then what we are doing is to divide the original synchronized data path into four sub-channels which can run independently, and I call this process channel slicing. Although you think they're simple, but they have indeed some problems. The packet transmitted in the network is divided into fleets. There's a header fleet you transmit first, and the routers need to analyze data in the header fleet to tell which output port should be reserved. And then the data feed following the header fleet will use this output port to go through the router, and finally the router will detect the tell fleet to release the path. Then how if all the sub-channels are run independently so they have different speed, even if the first packet is sent at the same time on all sub-channels, several frames later, the router cannot tell which is the header fleet. And the code bar is a shared resource for all the sub-channels. It cannot be reconfigured for one sub-channel, but for a whole pod. So we still need to resynchronize the sub-channels. Something happened like the lower figure. We need to stop all sub-channels and to block the header fleet. And then the router can analyze this header fleet. So you may ask me a question, why do we need bother to let sub-channels run independently? We still need to synchronize them. But you can see that in the old synchronized pipeline, the synchronization happened in every cycle. But in the channel slicing scheme, that sub-channels only synchronize per frame, not per cycle. We are reducing the frequency of synchronization, which will improve the speed performance. So in the data path, we are adding a gate on every sub-channel, and this gate is controlled by a sub-channel controller on each of the sub-channels. The algorithm is listed on the right side, which is quite simple. At the very beginning, the sub-channel is blocked, and it is waiting for the header fleet to be blocked on the last pipeline stage. If all the sub-channels have received a header fleet, then the header fleet could be analyzed by the router in step 2. Then the path is reserved. So in step 3, all sub-channels are open and data could be transmitted independently. And at the same time, as shown in step 4, sub-channel controllers will detect the tell fleet. Once the tell fleet is detected, it will block the sub-channel independently. So in the next step, it will go back to step 1 to waiting for the path fleet of next frame. The second technology is using lookup pipeline on the critical cycles. So we need to know where is the critical cycle. Here is the data path already channel sliced. You can see that we have two kinds of critical cycles. The first one is the blue one, which have the long interconnect between two routers. For this critical cycle, we already have some method, something about buffer insertion or add all pipeline stages into it, or we can use wave pipeline. So it's out of scope of this part. We're mainly concerned about the red one, which including code bar. The code bar will increase the fan out in the buffer and fan in the out buffer. It's also including routing control elements. And how it's inside the bar, inside the router. So we don't we can use some other pipeline styles which are not strictly to the eye, but it could help us to improve the speed. So we can use lookup pipeline. The lookup pipeline is shown on the right side and left side is normal to the pipeline. You can see that the only difference is on the ACK path. In the lookup pipeline, we are using an AND gate instead of an inverter. And ACK is not only generated by the next stage, it's generated by the next two stages. I know it's difficult for you to understand how it can improve the speed, So we have shown an example here. On the left side, the normal trigger pipeline, the same example as shown before. The second data could be transmitted because NAS1 is bubble. In the first half cycle, the data is transmitted. Somehow, there is no bubble for the first data because the data haven't been reset yet. So in the next half cycle, the data is stably stored in the last stage, and then the previous stage could be reset and turned into an idle stage, so there's buffer after the first data stage, so the data could be transmitted. But look at the pipeline, we have the same procedure, so data firstly go to the last pipeline stage. Somehow at this time, the data were being received a lot. Locked pipeline stage. So if no, the previous stage would be reset in that half cycle. It would rather go back to tell the idle stage that you can receive a new data in the next half cycle. So in the next half cycle, data is just resetting, and the previous idle stage is already receiving data. That means the stage resetting and the data forward happen at the same time in parallel, which can improve the speed. So that's what happened for lookup pipeline. The lookup pipeline used the earlier technology scheme, and it doesn't need an explicit bubble, but it's not strictly 2DI. If we want to use lookup pipeline in our router, simply we just change one pipeline stage to invert it into an AND gate, as you hear, the first stage of the out buffer. Yeah, as long as we have two stages in the out buffer, then the ACK signal for the critical cycle, which including the crossbars, totally generated by the router itself. Then we can guarantee the autonomous functions needed for lookup pipelines totally ensured by the router itself. And you can see that there's no area, it's a significant area overhead here. The detailed autonomous function improvement is in the paper if you want to read it. So we have to implement a real router to examine all these benefits. This router is a normal 5-port router for mesh topology, and every port has a data path, a data bus of 32 bits. We are using a 104 sub-channel, so there are 16 sub-channels on every port which run independently. There are two stages of inf buffer because we use the last stage to control block sub-channels. So actually, the half state is blocked down the first pipeline stage. And we have two stages of out buffer because we need out buffer to generate ACK signal for the lookup pipeline. Here shows the data path of one subchannel. You can see the two stages of in buffer and two stages of out buffer. There's a maximum demand, which is crossbar. The red gauge and the blue signals are added for the subchannel controller. The RT arrow signal and ACK EN signal will enable or disable the pipeline to let them run independently. And the green gates are added for the lookup pipeline. You can see the AND gate there. It's the same as the NAND gate here. We have moved the inverter out of place. But we need the C2N gates here because the original paper proposing the lookup pipeline using dynamic cell. But we are using CM, so we need to add another C2N gate here. Well, I also show the SDG, which is standing for the signal transfer graph here. SDG is a normal tool to analyze the signal transition in any signal circuit. The bold lines are the critical cycle. The black bold line includes added with the red dot line is the critical cycle of the using lookup pipeline. The black dot line and the blue line is the critical cycle of the normal QDR pipeline. And the green here means the crossbar. What we are going to do is to reduce the time that the critical cycle goes through the crossbar. So you can see that we use lookup pipeline. The critical cycle only go across the crossbar for 2 times. But if we use QDR pipeline, the critical cycle will go through the crossbar for 4 times. So that's why we can reduce the latency here. The whole implementation is written in VHDL, Verilog HDL at least. the control circuits are generated from stages using Pattern Fire Tour and other data paths manually designed. The implementation only uses stem cells. We are using a variety of stem cell library with UMC 130 nanometer technology. And the whole design is synthesized by the design compiler and layout by the IC compiler. And finally, the RC is tracked by the stock RC tour. Simulation is based on the post-layout simulation with back-annotated latency from RC instruction. We are using a typical corner to analyze the speed performance. Here is a table of the speed performance. The cycle period is the loop latency of the critical cycle. And the router latency is for a signal to go into the first pipeline stage of the input buffer and leave the output last pipeline stage of output buffer. The arbitration latency is the latency between the one input buffer signal request to reserve the cost bar and finally pass this reserve. For the throughput performance, we are more concerned about the cycle period. So you can see that if we use the normal QDI pipeline, the cycle period is about 3 nanoseconds. If we translate them into megahertz, it's about 350 megahertz. If we use the channel slicing alone, then we can reduce the cycle period to 2.2 nanoseconds, which is equivalent to 450 megahertz. It's ready to 24% speed improvement. And if we use in channel slicing loop pipeline together, we can reach about 300 megahertz. And the cycle period is 1.7 nanoseconds. So we can reach 41% latency reduction. Then we go to the area consumption. Using channel slicing, we will increase the area of input buffer and cost bar. The input buffer increments is because of the sub-channel controller. And for the cost bar is because we have increased the wear count of a port, since every sub-channel has its own ACK line and its own end of frame bit. The lookup pipeline doesn't increase the area overhead very much. It only increased about 0.6 K gate. And so if you can look at a lower figure, the total area increments of using channel slicing and lookup together is only about 28%. There's an extra benefit we can get from channel slicing. If we use the synchronous QI pipelines, we can figure out that if we want to increase data with our port, we need to increase the number of sub-channels. Now the sub-channels are synchronized, so we are increasing the CRM tree here, and also the latency of the CRM tree, which means the more sub-channels we are using, the slower the pipelines will be. But if we are using channel slicing, all the sub-channels are running independently, so there's no CRM tree. That increased number of sub-channels doesn't change the speed of the stages very much. And we have implemented some routers with different numbers of channels. So you can see that even the data width of the port is reaching 128 bits. The cycle period is still about 1.7 nanoseconds. The kind of don't change with the data width. And we have compared our router with other routers. We are more concerned about two points. The first one is that we are only using stem cells because only stem cell design could be compatible with other projects, could be easily adapted to other projects. And other one is we only use QDI pipelines or some kind of pipelines which are tolerant to process variation. So we are not proposing to use bundle data because bundle data are using match delay lines which is not tolerant to process variation. Then if we go back to the table that only two routers can have better performance than ours. The first one is Mongo, which are using bundle data. So and the other one is the ASPIN, which is also using bundle data and it is customized design. But I know the speed performance is quite good. But a custom design can only work in their project, you can't use that. And it's only used bundle data, so it may fail in the future QDI technology. Then go back to our router. The similar one who use the 2L pipelines, the AE Arc, somehow they have reached 4 nanoseconds cycle period. Ours is 1.7 nanoseconds. So it's quite a big improvement if we compare it to the AE Arc. Finally, the conclusion. We are proposing using 2DI pipelines because they are low power and tolerant to cross-path variation. We have proposed 2 technology to reduce the speed, to reduce the cycle period of the router. The first one is channel slicing, which will let sub-channels run independently and remove the CRM tree. And the other one is using lookup pipeline on the critical cycle. So we have designed a router, and this router achieved 1.7 nanosecond cycle period, which is equivalent to nearly 300 megahertz performance. We can reduce 41% latency with 28% average overhead in the router design. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Questions?